Welcome back to our series In Conversation With. We're exploring the lives and careers of people across Elgium to understand more about what brought them to asset management. This podcast is intended for investment professionals.
Welcome to Elgium Talks and this part of our series In Conversation With. I'm your host, Rob St. George, and today our guest is Howie Lee, who is head of ETFs at Elgium. Howie, just briefly, how would you describe your role?
My role is very much to help Elgium develop its ETF business, really provide the products of the innovative products that can help us service our investors. And I think that's very key to our business. But it is an extension to that, to really focus on servicing investors from different regions, different channels. That's how I'd probably best describe my role.
And now just from that quick answer, our eagle-eared listeners will have detected that you aren't a British native. So what brought you to this country in the first place?
So it sounds like I haven't lost it yet. What brought me here in the first place? So for those who are still listening, it's probably a Canadian accent or a Canadian twang that you hear there, and that's where I grew up. I was actually born in Hong Kong, lived there up until I was six. Whole family moved, emigrated to Canada, and that's where I was schooled. And then I came here for university and absolutely loved living here. Got some summer jobs, got a kind of a training contract, and kind of never left. And here I am, working in asset management industry with a wife and two kids.
Now, before asset management, you studied law and you became a lawyer.
I did.
What pulled you into the legal world?
Yeah, it's a good question. I get that a lot, actually, because, for me, I looked at the law probably slightly different than a lot of my peers did when I went into it. I knew that law was actually quite a good training, just in terms of its structure. I knew that it was usable and useful for multi kind of different sectors and different types of businesses. I knew I wanted to be in the commercial world of sorts. I also had to lean towards kind of finance and investing. I love the private markets as much as the public markets. I knew that understanding law was pretty crucial to understanding how businesses operate and how the world operates. So that's kind of what drew me in the first place.
And then when you were qualified as a lawyer, you ended up specializing in advising hedge funds. That sounds very exciting and glamorous. Was it?
Yeah, it's a great question. I had a fantastic experience. So, the hedge fund world at that point was, very much booming. I think now the proper kind of terminology is really alternative investment funds. And there is where I really learned about kind of the various different investment strategies that are available, whether it's kind of long only funds or kind of long short funds, and ways of investing which are a little bit less constrained, it would seem. I think what really made it for me was I spent quite a bit of time on secondment as well, and to understand how those businesses were run, but also to understand what investors wanted and how it kept that kind of hedge fund going was a huge learning experience for me, and it gave me a pretty close connection to the businesses to make me think, actually, this was absolutely the right move to make. Start off with the law, get closer to the business, get involved in quite a lot of senior discussions strategically, and then we kind of went on from there.
So that was your bridge from law to asset management. But when you did take that final step into the funds world, it was with an ETF company. How did you end up there? Perhaps the polar opposite in many ways of a hedge fund.
Yes, fantastic question. So this was back in 2008. I think everyone kind of looks back at that year and say, oh, what happens in 2008? I remember that as the year that I said to myself, you know what? I want to move into the industry rather than, say, private practice and law firm. Learned lots there, lots of friends there still in that sector, a fantastic profession. But I want to be closer to the business. We often advised companies on, fund launches, how to structure funds, etc. But I kind of never knew what happened after that. I want to know how those funds did. I want to know how that investment strategy did. So it was all about trying to find the right kind of investment company. At that point, ETFs were not as popular. A lot of people didn't even know what that was. I needed to learn that a lot about that. The bridge there was going into regulated funds and understanding UCITS. So I saw this opportunity joining a relatively small business that had started up, say, 3 years prior, started interviewing saw that as a great opportunity to learn. I joined a very small team of roughly about a dozen people, and then basically spent 10 plus years with that same business. And that same business is here today at Legal & General.
Mm. So that business was Canvas. LGIM announced the acquisition in November 2017, and it completed in March 2018. What made you think that Legal & General and LGIM might be a good fit for that Canvas business?
Yeah, so if you kind of take a look at the history of how we ran the business there and also the products, you'll recognize that we liked working and collaborating. That's a big kind of cultural element for us, mainly because we're very quick to raise our hands when we say, okay, you know what? There are things that we do well and there are things that other people might do well. And we always look for smart people, good IP, good investment process. And when it came to the thematic funds, that made absolute sense. We wanted to learn from others in order to bring the best investment for investors. So, you know, when it came to LGIM, it actually started as a conversation as to, you know, how can we work together? Lots of investment expertise across LGIM, different asset classes. And, you know, we wanted to kind of work with LGIM. And that conversation transformed to, yes, we can work together. But then, of course, then the conversation turned into acquisition. And here we are. And as you covered those dates, 2017, we announced that publicly. And we're proud to say in 2018, the whole team came across the door with all our funds, all its operations, infrastructure, and we continue to grow the business. But now with the LNG ETF kind of tag on, as well as the capabilities and the resources that an international firm like LGIM can provide us with.
Mm. So it's been just over a year since you and your team joined. You're still smiling about it. It must have been a challenge to integrate something of a boutique culture into a much larger group. What kind of challenges did you face, and how did you overcome them?
Yeah, do you know what challenges is an interesting word, because everything you can overcome. There are always solutions to everything. I kind of always look back as to, you know, what kind of lawyer I was or what I did when I was in even in the smaller company back then called ETF Securities. It was always about solving problems. So I think that's what I enjoyed the most. When you first take an existing business that has to run and continue to run with different systems, different infrastructure, and also people to deal with, you want to make sure that everybody's engaged and wanting to go into the next phase of the business. And so for us, a lot of focus was to make sure that first our people were kept informed and completely aware of the direction that we're going. And this is not just our team. This is our investors. This is everyone that we work with, all our partners, people at LGIM, to understand what the start of the LNG ETF journey is about and how it's going to look like over the next kind of 5+ years. So I think that was a very important element for us. The second bit is to make sure that, you know, as we come over as a team and a growing business, we want to make sure that we're utilizing and connecting into the various resources that are available to us at LGIM, whether it's working with you guys in the marketing team, or whether it's working closely with the finance team to really kind of map out our future, working with the wider investments team to see, you know, what kind of opportunities we can do. That was a very important element for us to learn about LGIM, for LGIM to learn about us, to then understand what kind of future opportunities there are. I think for me, another key element of the business is to make sure that we use to the maximum potential data and technology as we grow the business within LGIM into its future years. I think that's a big driver for how we operate efficiently. But also, I increasingly will look towards that to figure out how that can contribute and augment our investment process, as well as the creation of our investment strategies.
Mm. Now, you mentioned you've been in the ETF world for just over 10 years now.
I am dating myself there, am I? Yeah.
It's been a very exciting period of amazing growth for the industry. Can the next 10 years possibly possibly match that? And what does the ETF industry look like in 10 years' time?
Yeah, you can look at the statistics. So I don't need to repeat them here as to the growth of the ETF industry historically, as well as what it's projected to be. What I will say is that it's certainly changed a lot. The landscape has changed a lot, and the understanding in the market has changed a lot. You know, we used to go into meetings, say 10 years ago, investors would ask us, what are ETFs and what did they do? And then it became, okay, we know what ETFs, and we'll use ETFs with other types of mutual funds interchangeably. We see that from our clients. Fund-to-fund investors have become fund-to-fund-to-fund of ETF investors. And that's a really exciting development to understand that ETFs are just a wrapper. The exciting part of, I think, the growth of the ETF business in total is very much around what kind of investment strategies can come into this. You know, we feel very strongly about factor-based investing. We feel very strongly about thematic investing. Of course, we recognize that a lot of our investors still like to use core investment tools. And when I say core in this context, it's talking about market cap index investing. What I'm trying to work very hard to disassociate is that, you know, index investing equals passive investing, because actually every good index manager should be able to, you know, work with its tools. And there's active decisions being made, you know, when to buy stocks, when to not to buy stocks, how we should vote with the votes that we have for companies that we own. How can we change the investment design? How do we work with partners to identify companies to build themes? So I think there's a huge amount of opportunity there. I also think with the more technology and data, that will really help us power up our thinking as well as the potential opportunities in the future for investing.
Absolutely. Hearing about that vast opportunity set, you could be very busy for the next 10 years. Well, we hope you are. But what do you do to relax away from all that growth?
So I've got a young family. So, you know, going home is a form of relaxation, but it's a very high energy form of relaxation. So certainly that's a very important element to me. I'm very close to my family. You know, for us, I love kind of experiencing cultures and understanding different cultures. I think over the last 10 years, I've certainly done a lot of traveling here around Europe. So, you know, me and my family love traveling and really immerse ourselves to understand different cultures, different languages, what they eat, what they drink, what they like to do. You know, some of my colleagues, I think even earlier, were joking around on how I love to spend time in Italy. And, you know, it's very lucky that we have an Italian office and Italian colleagues. And I get a chance to, even on my holidays, to have Italian food, Italian wine, and even try to learn a few words here or there. So I think that's probably travel, food, and kind of that's really what drives my passion. I used to have a very strong passion on cars when I was younger, but living in London, not as practical. But I will say that the kind of electrification of vehicles in the future is hugely interesting to both me and my family.
And that brings us very nicely onto our final question that we ask all our guests. What would be your dream holiday? And for the sake of variety, it can't be Italy this time.
Oh, wow. Okay. Great question. I did have somewhere in Italy in mind, so I won't say that. I would love to travel somewhere really far flung. I've always liked kind of warmer holidays. Love the mountains as well, but love to go somewhere, kind of white sands, where traveling is a little bit more difficult to get to. So probably involves a flight, a boat, a car of some sort. Just somewhere remote, because I really want to see nature at its best. Some completely different, uncommercialized context. So these are probably places I don't even have names for. So if anyone's got any suggestions, please let me know. But yeah, I think that's where I would like to find myself. Preferably south of the equator as well, because I haven't been south of the equator.
Well, if you do have ideas, listeners, please do tell us. But otherwise, thank you for being here, Howie. And thank you to the audience and the production team for making this possible. We'll be profiling more employees from across the business in the coming months. If you've enjoyed listening to this episode, please do leave the podcast a rating and subscribe to LGIM Talks.
If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can leave us a rating or maybe even a review if you're feeling particularly generous on the Apple Podcasts app. It really helps new listeners to find us, and we're always on the lookouts for new ways we can improve. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of recording and do not reflect the views of Legal & General Investment Management. Legal & General Investment Management is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. And remember to share this podcast with your investment professional friends, colleagues, or even family members. And to find more great content from Legal & General Investment Management, check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website.